Bugs bugging you? Plants looking puny? Water bills too high? Well, you found the place to get the answers. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with the Dirt Doctor himself. Here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. It's Dirt Doctor Radio, and we're here to talk with you for 3 hours or 1 hour or 2 hour, whatever your radio station carries. We're streamed live on dirtdoctor.com if there's a problem with any of that. Also, an app, the Dirt Doctor app, is available for you, and more people using that. We talk about gardening and landscaping and pest control issues quite a bit. Tree talk is always one of the important things that we talk about. Telephone number to be with me on the show if you've got a suggestion, a comment, a complaint, whatever you want to get into is fine. The number is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. I've got some things to do here for a while, but we'll work your calls in as we go. So just give us a buzz, 866-444-3478. Mary Rose will help you out when you call in, get you ready. Let's see what we're going to start with today. Let's talk about the fact that our dog at the SPCA from last week, Athena, who is a cutie, by the way, is still available for adoption. So check her out. Her photograph is on our website under the SPCA button there on the homepage. And this week is a cutie, too. Eastwood, he is a friendly two-year-old rat terrier, 12 pounds, soft white fur with patches of black and tan. You can see his picture and, of course, Athena's as well on our website. He came from Louisiana where he lost his home during the flooding. Is the story on Eastwood. He's calm, laid back, and gentle, very sweet and affectionate. So check him out. He is heartworm positive, but because of a generous donor, that'll be covered for free at one of the Metroplex area VCA animal hospitals. So come meet him today. It's at the Jan Reese Jones Animal Care Center west of downtown Dallas. And you can go there and meet Athena and Eastwood as well. And it's also Dogtober, which means that the adoption fees are 50% off of the normal. I guess that's across the board. So a good time for you to check that out. Good time of the year, nice cool temperature to get a new family member. My tea this morning is oregano and ginger and fennel and Turk's cap and apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar in there pretty much all the time these days. Oregano is one of the things that I recommend. That's a herb that's a good landscape plant. It's a good ground cover. I just recently replanted not too long ago some Greek oregano, and I need to get some Cuban oregano as well. I did a newsletter about the different oreganos that are available for you. You might want to look that up. We've got some pretty good information for you that shows up in a newsletter, and it's also on the in the library part of dirtdoctor.com. But oregano is good for you. It tastes good, and it's good to mix with these other things. Ginger's good. Fennel, just I like the flavor of it. Turk's cap, that perennial plant that's still blooming like crazy right now. We have pink and red blooming in our garden, and the fruit is starting to show up. The fruit is best to use after it turns completely red, same as rose hips. Rose hips make a great tea ingredient as well. The roses that produce the largest hips, those are the, generally speaking, the best ones for you to use, but you can basically use any of the rose hips. You do that after they turn red. That means they're ripe. If you're deadheading your roses, you won't have any hips because the hips form after the flowers fade away and come on then. So if you're keeping your roses nice and tidy and doing deadheading and all that, you won't have the hips. So just remember that. If you want the hips, you're going to have to stop doing that. Let's see, a little more in Howard's garden. I noticed yesterday something kind of interesting. One of the perennials that we have, and I've talked about it. In fact, I think we did it as a contest, and we have the contest going on, the Torque class contest, identifying the photograph that's on the homepage and winning one of the online schools to take and become certified in the natural organic arena. But one of the plants we covered before, I'm pretty sure we covered it as a contest, was fire spike. Fire spike is a tropical to semi-tropical plant. Does okay here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's probably a little better farther south. I think it does real well in Houston down through there. But it's a pretty plant, real pretty foliage, dark, shiny foliage. And it's just now, I just noticed yesterday, starting to set some spikes and start to bloom. So it's one of those plants that gives you some flowering when there's not a lot of other flowers necessarily around, especially on the perennials. Our contest picture today is also in that category. It's a flower that puts on the show late summer and fall. So check out the photograph. What you do is you go to the Dirt Doctor website, and then those four little buttons that are below the picture there, they'll shift automatically. But if you want to see what is under the other ones, just click on those buttons and you'll see the contest picture. You'll see a video of me talking about the natural organic certification course. And we've got one of the seminars that was done that used to be just in the members area, and we moved it out so y'all can see it, because it's one of the best of the presentations that was in that seminar. It's by our friend Tony Manasseri, and he talks about his farming. He and his wife Marianne up in McKinney, their farming operation, and some of the real interesting tricks he has with covering crops during the winter. You don't even have to do that, but you can, and you can make the gardening experience during the cool season even greater, even longer and more productive by doing some of the covering the hoop houses and covering that Tony does. And that's in that seminar. Some of the techniques on video are a lot better today than they used to be. So I wish the quality was a little bit higher, but you'll still be able to get the information. I think it'll still be useful to you. And let's see, sod and grass seeding. We need to talk about that. I talked about it last week, but it continues to be a subject where there's some really bad advice out there. Planting seed. We're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We're in Zone 8. And so down through the south, all across the country, we can plant the warm season grasses from seed, and then we can plant sod. And what we're going to talk about is you can basically plant the sod anytime, doesn't matter when it is. But seed planting window does pretty much cut off late summer, because you want to plant the seed so it has time to get up and establish a pretty good little root system and start growing before the real hard weather hits. So sometime in September usually is where we start telling people to stop planting Bermuda grass seed, which is the main one that we plant from seed that's a summer grass. Well, that and buffalo grass, which is my favorite, really. But where the really bad advice is on the subject of solid sod. And there are people, there are university people and extension people that are putting out the information that it is now too late to plant solid sod. Zoysia, Bermuda grass, St. Augustine grass, And we're going to talk about northern grasses, too, because I just stumbled into something that kind of backs up my theory even more than I realized was out there. But the solid sod planting of summer grasses, zoysia, buffalo grass, Bermuda grass, St. Augustine grass, can not only still go on right now. Right now is a great time to plant solid sod. It is a terrific time to get real good quality grass. There is no risk of damage from the cooling and cold weather that's coming up. Birds just flew in the window, as you hear. I'll finish this talk about solid sod and then some other related things when I come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, telephone number. People are starting to call in here at 866-444-3478. I'll be back.
Xylo bags are the newest and best development in compostable multi-use bags. Rather than food sources like corn, Xylo bags are made using lignin, a byproduct from paper mills, so no additional trees or other crops are harvested to produce Xylo bags. Ask for Xylo bags in your grocery store, hardware store, or wherever you buy bags. Available online at Amazon. For more information, go to xylobags.com. Xylo bags, the best compostable bags available.
Lava sand is a critical part of my organic recommendations for bed preparation and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. I have found a high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. It's American Rio and their Maverick Lava Sand Soil Amendment. It'll dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. You can buy it in bags or bulk. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752 or go to AmericanRio.com.
Good health isn't always by chance, but with planning and commitment, the payoff is priceless. Essential Formulas is proud to offer unparalleled, scientifically proven probiotic formulations that support the body's ability to maintain health from a microbial and cellular level. Our award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics supports your own exclusive probiotic fingerprint, which promotes digestive and whole health. Dr. O'Hara further developed a unique line of skincare products, natural and chemical-free, all with his signature probiotic support. And our RegActive products contain ME3, the only probiotic scientifically proven to actually produce the master antioxidant glutathione within your body to help maintain cellular health during daily exposure to free radicals, common environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Look for Dr. O'Hara's line of probiotic products and RegActive at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
The Medina Corporation, led by Stuart Frankie and his family in Hondo, Texas, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil-building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator works by stimulating the soil biology and roots to help plants all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. Medina products can help you spend your budget wisely, increasing production and treating the environment right. All the Medina products are free of toxic chemicals. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For proper care of your lawn and garden, Medina is the choice. Ask for a Medina at your local hardware, nursery, or feed store. Medina Natural Organic Products, 50 years young and still environmentally friendly. MedinaAg.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And finishing up on this side conversation before we go to the phones real quick. Again, this is a great time to plant solid sod. If you're doing a new project right now, landscape project or remodeling or whatever, and you can't plant today and you get it finished next month or in December or January, it's still fine to plant the solid sod. No problem at all. One of the things that dawned on me when I started thinking about talking about this morning was that a lot of our listeners are in the north. We have a lot of calls from Illinois and other northern places, and we talk about planting bluegrass and fescue and some of the same issues that we deal with insects and diseases, and some, the techniques of planting and everything are the same across the country. But I got to thinking that even though I know that planting the fescues and the bluegrasses and ryes and all those cool season things in the fall is fine here and fine in the north, if you're planting in August or September, I got thinking, well, maybe where it gets really, really cold, maybe there is a little bit of risk planting in October up there. So I did a quick search, and the first little website that popped up was a website from a grass company, and they were addressing the question. October the 29th, this was in 2013, is it too late to plant sod? And the answer, so they're saying, is it still okay to plant sod? And the answer is a resounding yes, yes, yes. And I was delighted to hear this. It fits exactly with my thinking. When you plant in the fall or you plant in the early winter, the sod has gone into what's called the root growth cycle. And especially now, whether you're in the north or in the south, you're going to get some root growth. That's why we recommend planting trees, which is another subject I want to get into in more detail when I can work it in here. There is a burst of root growth in the fall. That plant switches from having the root growth emphasis in the top of the plant to the root system. And in the fall, you get a real nice burst, and you get some root growth all during the winter time. And then in the spring, the plant takes off. That surprises a lot of people that the springtime is the worst time to plant a tree. Sod, doesn't matter, you can do it anytime, any month of the year, especially in the South. In the North, if you're frozen solid as a you know, an ice cube, obviously you've got to wait until it gets warmer. One of the techniques that's also used up north is using hay or straw and spreading it out on the turf after it's planted. It's talked about and it's used more from the standpoint of helping to hold moisture in the soil than to protect the turf from freeze damage, although it probably does that a little bit too. But be careful with that idea. Be careful with that technique, because if you get straw, that's probably generally okay. If you get hay and it comes from, you know, shipped up from the South or someplace where Bermuda or some other grasses, I guess, could be in the same category used, and there's broadleaf herbicides used on that grass, some of those herbicides like picloram and clopyrrolid and those kind of herbicides last a long time. They don't even break down very readily under a composting operation. So, no, the risk is you may be putting a herbicide out when you do the hay. If you use alfalfa, your chances are a lot better, although they're messing up alfalfa now with the GMO changes and all that, so they can put herbicides on alfalfa. But generally speaking, alfalfa is a broadleaf plant, and you wouldn't have those broadleaf herbicides used nearly as much as you would on some of the grasses. So just be careful with that. But the point again is that the fall is a great time, whether you live in Chicago or Dallas, Texas, to plant solid sod. So don't let the people that tell you it's not a good time talk you out of it and foul up your schedule on your project. Now, is it possible that there will be another winter like we had in 1983-84 where it goes, down to zero and stays below freezing for an incredibly long period of time and freezes the turf? Yep, there is a chance of that. Very, very slim. And it will kill existing turf. It killed live oak trees when that happened. So you really can't plan around that kind of event. We haven't come close to having one of those situations there in a long time. And the really, really cold stuff would be primarily in the north. And those northern grasses, those cool season grasses are tough. They can take it. Anyway, if you want to talk about that more, let me know. Let me catch up a little bit here. We've had some people holding a long time. First is this morning, Donna, Bulverde, Texas. Did Mary Rose get that right? Is that right, Donna?
Yes. Yes.
Where Bulverde is that?
I'm just a little north of San Antonio, about 30 minutes from Shades of Green.
Oh, cool. Well, that's a lucky place to be.
Yeah. I have a couple questions.
Okay.
I'm planting lavender. And first of all, I'm going to plant Munstead, and that's an Augustifolia one. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's great.
Right?
Donna, the birds you heard just came in. Can you hold with me so we're not rushed?
Sure.
Okay, I'll be back in a minute. Okay. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, telephone number, and when you hear somebody hang up, you can jump on at 866-444-3478. The website's dirtdoctor.com. The newsletter's free. Just sign up on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. I'll be back.
Because most schools have avoided this subject of study, we have now produced a natural organic certification class. It covers organic gardening, landscaping and farming, and designed for homeowners as well as professionals. The course is taught with 15 chapters of video instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the certification course banner. That's dirtdoctor.com, then click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books, His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
If you were there for the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, this message is for you. You can fight the effects of aging by eating right, exercising, and getting some garlic every day. The healing and health-giving properties of garlic are as wonderful as Venus aligning with Mars. And the easiest way to get all of garlic's benefits is with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Natural aging makes organically grown kyolic a true antioxidant. Hospital and university studies show that kyolic aged garlic extract helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels and normal blood pressure while improving circulation. Kyolic even helps build your immune system so you can keep on keeping on. For more information or to find a store near you, visit kyolic.com. That's K-Y-O-L-I-C.com. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract for people who take their garlic and their health seriously. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Okay, we were talking to Donna and got rudely interrupted by those birds flying in. Donna, are you there?
Yes. That's okay. No problem.
Okay. Talking about lavender, and you have started with the Munstead. Is that where we were going?
Is that a good one to grow?
It's good. It's one of the English type lavenders. It's not the easiest one to grow. If you want to try a kind of a combination, in fact, I'd recommend this anyway. I'd try several different varieties, kind of like I recommend when planting fruit trees. If you plant a mixture of different fruit trees that require different cold hours and different conditions and different weather likes and all that, you just have a better chance. But the one that is probably hands down the easiest of the lavenders to grow is the Spanish lavender, which is a non-English lavender. And
oh,
it's
okay.
Pretty. I don't know. Some of the real hardcore herbalists would probably turn their nose up a little bit at that, saying that it doesn't have as delicate a fragrance and as the English lavenders do. But it's really pretty. It's kind of a low growing one, and it's tough as a boot. All the lavenders, as you probably already know, are very xeric, drought tolerant. The worst thing you can do is plant them in the shade and water them too much, those two things. So, you know, lots of full sun. They can take pretty lousy soil. You don't need to over prepare like we do for tomatoes and peppers and things like that. And they'll produce for you really well and be beautiful, attract insects and give you a great herb.
Okay, I have a few questions. I solarized a bed. You know, I put down a bunch of cardboard and plastic, and I killed all the weeds.
Okay, good.
And the bed does have a slight slope to it, and my ground was like hard as rock. So I dug some holes out, and I did mix some better kind of a little looser soil, you know.
Okay.
Before I actually put my soil back into the hole and put my lavender in there, I grew some lavender in some pots, but some of them died. I guess I watered them too much.
Mm-hmm.
But before I put the soil back in the hole, after I moved the tarps, do you think it'll be okay to leave the already softened cardboard on the bed and add some newspapers, like 8 layers, and wet them, and then add my small rock around my lavender plants? I know lavender doesn't like wet feet, but good drainage. And some people said that my lavender might stay too wet if I add the cardboard versus just the newspaper.
There's a possibility of that, Donna. Do you have an opportunity there with how much you're doing to do both and see which way works the best for you?
That might tend to create
a little bit too much moisture. Plus the fact I'd really like for you, even though I just said that they don't need as much bed preparation and tender loving care to start as other herbs and vegetables and things, the lavender would still respond to a little bit of compost, a little bit of rock minerals, you know, like azomite or lava sand, and a little bit of organic fertilizer. I would cut the rates way down from what I normally recommend and mix it into the soil. Don't just put the improvement right around each plant, but put it throughout that whole area, which is going to be a problem since you've already got the cardboard and the paper down. So what I would do is take at least one area and take the cardboard and paper off, make the bed a little bit better, and then just do our standard typical mulching with a shredded tree trimmings mulch. Another mulch that works really well with lavender, I've seen it used with great success, is lava gravel.
They suggest that you use pea gravel, or I can use little pieces of limestone. Is that okay?
It's okay. The lava gravel would be 100 times better.
Okay, I found lava gravel. Okay.
Yeah, lava gravel is easy to find. You can even find it at the big box stores. It's sold as a decorative mulch, you know, or a decorative material. And using it, it'd be good to do a little experiment here and see which way works the best for us, since you've already got the paper and the cardboard.
Well, I got the cardboard down. I don't have the newspaper down yet.
Okay, well, since it's already there, stick with it in one area. Take it out and do a little bit of bed preparation and native mulch and the lava, and let's see which way works best for you.
Okay, so add a little newspaper to the cardboard that I have, and then some of the bed to just add newspaper.
Well, one of the beds I wouldn't even do the paper. I would just do compost, rock minerals, and a little bit of cornmeal would be good to add too, because you know one of the things that any lavender can get is the root diseases if they're kept a little wet. That's what knocks them out. So if you put a little bit of cornmeal
in with
the overall bed preparation. I don't like putting stuff just right down in the hole very much. If you do that in the area where you've got the paper and the cardboard, do very, very little and have most of it right at the surface. You see what I mean? I don't want a lot of stuff buried down in there right around the root of the individual plant.
Okay. All right. So just add my already pot that has the soil that I made. I made it out of, you know, kind of what you said.
Okay.
A little bit of sand, a little bit of compost, a little bit of lava sand.
Yeah, that's fine. It can go in. Yeah.
And just put that in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're saying I need to put some soil around the hole as well, because I made like a 10-inch hole, 11-inch hole. And you're saying I should put some more soil around it?
Yeah, it needs to have some. If it's just solid rock, you need as much soil as possible. But again, this is one approach. The other one that you're going to try is we're going to actually prepare the bed similar to how we prepare it for roses or any other landscape plant. We're just going to use less of the compost rock minerals and sugar, and let's see which way works best. Planting in pots down through paper and cardboard is going to tend to create a little bit of a pot effect in the ground, is what I'm worried about a little bit. So put some of your amendments in there, but very, very small amounts, and keep most of it up at the surface, even though it's just a hole in the ground. Okay?
Okay, and keep the cardboard and the newspaper there.
Yeah, in one of the areas, and then try it in another area over there the other way. Try
without,
both. Let's see if it works.
Without any cardboard or newspaper, you're
right,
saying.
Right.
Okay.
Which is what I would have done in the first place.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then I was thinking of puncture a few holes in the cardboard, you know, so that it does drain and wetten it real good.
That's probably a good idea. That's probably a good idea, and it'll kind of help it break down a little faster. We actually want it to break down. It'll help with weed control for a while, but not forever. You know, it's going to decay and break down. You're going to have to deal with the weeds in a more conventional way long term. But let's see how this works. It's going to be a good experiment.
Okay, and then the corn meal that I use, I have to use it from the feed store, or can I use the kind from the grocery store?
Either one. From the feed store, it's going to be a lot more cost effective. From Shades of Green, like you mentioned, they'll have the big bags, 50-pound bags,
right,
and it's going to be real cost effective to go that way. And you can use the cornmeal on any of your planting that you have, so it's not anything that would be a waste to buy a big bag.
Right, and I just spread it. You said don't put it in the hole, just spread it around the plant.
Well, you're going to have to put it in the hole where you're going through the paper.
Well, I wasn't going to put the paper on. I cut the paper around the hole, so the paper goes up to the hole. The hole's like 10 inches wide, and I didn't put any paper around in on top of the hole.
Okay. I think we're saying the same thing. We're just going around in circles. Put the cornmeal in the area that's still exposed, but not very much, where it's real close to the plant. Then put your paper and mulch and stuff over that.
Okay. Okay. And the other question I have is I have some other beds that have lots of weeds and grass, and I have some salvia growing and some other things, and I have an overhead sprinkler, you know, that pop-up sprinklers.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to kill the weeds. Can I put down cardboard and stuff in between those plants to kill
that
grass?
Yeah, that's where I normally recommend it rather than in new planting. In new planting, I don't do it. I just use the corn gluten meal around the plants when I plant them, and it kills any weed seed that's germinating and coming up. But if you have existing weeds like you're talking about around the plants, that's the best place to use the paper. You can spray with the vinegar if it's warm and the plants are still green and growing and kill them. But covering it up and with paper and cardboard and smothering the weeds would be fine in that situation.
Okay, and then when my sprinklers come on, they're not going to come on that much during the winter, I guess, because it's getting colder.
Shouldn't
now
come
here
on very much at all. They should be shut off and only come on when you push the button for them to come on. Not set on any kind of an automatic program at all.
Okay. So just check the plants and see if they're dry.
Yeah, whenever it's getting dry, you punch the button and let it run through, but keep it off automatic in the meantime. And that goes for everybody out there with any kind of landscaping or vegetable garden or herb garden or anything. I never recommend leaving the sprinkler on automatic. I'm going to need to run, help some other people. I think you're on the right track, though, and it's an interesting experiment. Give me some feedback.
Okay.
I'm
trying to think. I had some more quick questions.
Well, I need to run, so call me back again, okay? I appreciate your call. Let's talk to Morgan in Munster, Texas. Hello, Morgan.
Well, good morning, Howard. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, sir.
You had mentioned rose hips earlier for peas, and my question regarding that, is there one particular type of rose that produces a better hip? I had heard that the Rosa rugosa or Alba rugosa produces an abundance of hips, if that's honestly kind of where you want to go with your roses, or does just any rose?
Well, any rose will have hips, and any of them will contain a fair amount of vitamin C, which is the whole reason that you put the hips chopped up into salads or teas or whatever. Rugosas are the ones that are commonly talked about, and I've written about it too, that have the most concentration of vitamin C. They're also large, very large
right.
hips.
Okay.
But I've got a Dortmund at the office that has some really large hips, and we've got several other varieties, and the hip size will vary all over the place. You'll just have to see which ones that fit the bill for you as far as being real pretty roses and good plant for your situation, and also have the good hips. Rugosa is not foolproof as far as growing it in this area. You could try, and I'd recommend that you do, but you might have better luck with some of the others.
Okay, okay. Well, I've got some of the rugosa seeds, and I didn't know if this would be a good time to set them out.
Well, it'd be a good time to get them going in a greenhouse situation. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Garrett Juice Pro, and Sick Tree Treatment, can now help you with innovative products. If you're a grower, rancher, or landscape contractor, Maestro Grow can manufacture products specifically designed for your needs and property. For more information, call Chris, 214-436-3617, or go to maestro-grow.com. That's 214-436-3617. Remember to ask for Maestro Grow products.
Exo Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor-eliminating air freshener. It is non-toxic, pH-neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors, but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try Exo Odor Neutralizer, available in stores everywhere. Just ask for Exo Odor Neutralizer. For more information, go to exocorp.com or call 800-442-9696. Ask for and start enjoying Exo Odor Neutralizer today.
When various pains slow you down, you should reach for real-time pain relief. It's non-greasy, relieves pain in minutes, smells great, and contains no harmful chemicals, GMOs, parabens, or SLS. Ask for it at your favorite store. You can also order it today and receive a free $10 tube with your purchase of $10 or more by texting DIRT to 90407, calling 877-787-7180, or going to rtpr.com and using the promo code DIRT.
Because most schools have avoided this subject of study, we have now produced a natural organic certification class. It covers organic gardening, landscaping and farming, and designed for homeowners as well as professionals. The course is taught with 15 chapters of video instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the certification course banner. That's dirtdoctor.com, then click on the certification course banner.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Good health isn't always by chance, but with planning and commitment, the payoff is priceless. Essential Formulas is proud to offer unparalleled, scientifically proven probiotic formulations that support the body's ability to maintain health from a microbial and cellular level. Our award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics supports your own exclusive probiotic fingerprint, which promotes digestive and whole health. Dr. O'Hara further developed a unique line of skincare products, natural and chemical-free, all with his signature probiotic support. And our RegActive products contain ME3, the only probiotic scientifically proven to actually produce the master antioxidant glutathione within your body to help maintain cellular health during daily exposure to free radicals, common environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Look for Dr. O'Hara's line of probiotic products and RegActive at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I was talking to Morgan off the air about the rose hip situation just a little bit more, and I did, while we were talking, I did a quick search and found a good source of names of roses that are recommended for large hips and have vitamin C. And there probably are some others out there, but this one looks really good. I was kind of impressed, and I'll do a newsletter myself. I think we've done one a long time ago, but maybe not as specific as it needed to be. The Dortmund that I mentioned, Rose, is on this list. Ballerina and several others that are be pretty easy to find. But it's a long list, and it's pretty good. It's on a website called roseswithhips-heirloomroses. So that, for those of you interested in the rose hip idea, that – in addition to our stuff, would be a good source for you, and we'll beef that up. I've been told that we have a winner on the contest, and somebody called in and guessed salvia, but it was a little too general. We needed a specific salvia, and then we had somebody guess correctly. It's a Mexican bush salvia, or Salvia lucantha, is the salvia that is the contest question, and Becky is the winner, and we'll be getting a course to her. It's $195 value that she's won. It's a 15-chapter course on natural organic program that I teach, and getting some good feedback from people about it, and delighted that people are enjoying it. So congratulations to Becky for winning the one today. We'll have a new one next week. We do it every week. Yoga Mike puts it up just before the show goes on the air sometime, and you can guests by email or calling and being on the show, either one. And these came in by, those two came in by email to info@dirtdoctor.com or Ask Howard, one of the two. We've got an open line for you at 866-444-3478. We're going to talk to Emily right now in Chicago. Hello, Emily.
Hello.
What's up?
Well, it's my gardenia.
Mm-hmm.
It was pruned to be a tall-stemmed gardenia.
Okay.
And I've had it outdoors in a nice cozy corner up front in the front yard. And to my dismay, I discovered a whole bunch of aphids and ants. So I quickly went to the store and I got systemic granules. Well, it did cut down the population quite a bit, but I'm ready to move that plant indoors. Or my question is, should I? It was expensive, about $30. And I can't isolate it if it's indoors.
Okay, well, there's a couple of issues here, Emily. First of all, a systemic chemical herbicide or insecticide is nothing I would ever recommend to you. And the reason is, when it's systemic, that means it travels all through the tissue of the plant. And while you're handling it, if you get any on you, it travels through the tissue of your body the same way. So,
granted,
we don't recommend that at all, and you bringing it in and handling it now is a little bit of a concern. Just be careful. I'd wear gloves and so forth. You do have to protect gardenias there. They will freeze in Chicago, as you know. They do need as much full sun and light as possible. One of the things that people foul up on down here in the South growing gardenias is that they tend to think, I think I maybe was in this category at one time too, think that they like shady situations, but they actually do far better in full sun. And so that's a tip for you, that to keep it healthy during the winter, you just need to get as much light as possible. Next time for aphids, you can just mix a little Lemon Joy liquid soap and water anywhere from a teaspoon to a tablespoon per gallon and take care of the aphids. But that really indicates that the plant is in stress for some reason and need to figure out what that was. Too much water, too little water, something like that.
Is that why the aphids gravitated to it?
Yeah, the aphids hit plants that are in stress. And the stress comes on from some other deal. When you had the plant outside, or while it's outside now, is it in a full sun situation?
No.
Okay, that's probably why it's in stress. They like full sun, and it's kind of an interesting thing. A lot of people make the same mistake with gardenias. They'll grow in the shade, and I guess that's how it got started, and they'll do fairly well, but they'll do a whole lot better if they get full sun, or most of the day with full sun.
Truly, and I wouldn't have a problem with aphids in that condition.
Well, you can get aphids by stress that's caused from just simply the weather changing, but in that case, it's a temporary stress, and the aphids are just, you know, a temporary problem. But if they're really heavy on the plant and really doing damage, that means there's something bigger that's an issue. So you can kill them with the soapy water, and then try to figure out, I need more water, I need less water, I need a little more sunlight, the soil was contaminated. See, something like that. You see what I mean? It's a bigger issue.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I think next time I get a plant like a gardenia, I'll keep it indoors.
Well, it needs a lot of light. Let me put you on hold, and we'll chat just a little bit more about it. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. That's hour number one. We've got hour number two coming up. To call us, it's 866-444-3478. We've got a guest to start the hour that I think you'll enjoy hearing.